You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 19, and my name is DJ Chuang, your host for Social Media Church. And today's guest is Jay Kranda, who is the Internet Campus Pastor at Saddleback Church here in Southern California. Main base is in Lake Forest, California, with 8 other physical locations and the Internet Campus, which makes 9. And Saddleback Church is ramping up to launch 12 churches around the world in gateway cities in order to have a base camp in order to reach the 3,800 unreached people groups. So Saddleback has a big dream for God's kingdom into this campaign they call Decade of Destiny. And Saddleback, it happens to be the church that I attend as well. I personally attend the Rancho Capistrano campus, which is closest to where I live. And Jay Kranda has been someone I've kept an eye on, not only because he's been part of my church, but he rather makes himself visible through video and clips on Facebook and their Internet Campus blog. And knowing the influence and the profile that Saddleback Church has in mainstream America and around the world now, I'm sure there are many of you listeners who would be curious to hear a bit more about how they do what they do, particularly with their Internet Campus. And so today's episode is a conversation with Jay Kranda, who is a young guy. He's only 25 years old, still finishing up his seminary degree, but you'll hear plenty of enthusiasm in his voice as he tells about how they are doing Internet Campuses. And if my math is correct, they are currently running 73 online services every week. That's almost every other hour, every day. Actually, that's how they actually launched way back when, 84 services, when they launched several months back. I didn't retrace the history because, you know, these things, when it comes to internet history, just keeps on moving, kind of like the timeline scrolling by on your Facebook page. And so currently, at this time, it's 73 services, 12 every weekday, 11 on Sunday, and then 2 on Saturday. I think that is to better fit their production schedule. They do what's called simulated live, so it's a pre-recorded sermon that's shown at a particular time so that people can be watching and interacting together as an online service. Today, the conversation is with Jay Kranda, who is the Internet Campus Pastor at Saddleback Church, pastored by Rick Warren. And we talk about how they do Internet Campus, take a look at how they do online small groups, which they are doing very actively and effectively. And then the big question is, how do they make Internet Campus a purpose-driven kind of a thing so that people move through the process of the baseball diamond and going through the 5 purposes? So let me switch tracks over. Here's my conversation with Jay Kranda. Well, you're the sharp young leader there at the Saddleback Internet Campus. And a lot of people, when I connect with church leaders around the country, they want to know what's going on at Saddleback. So I'm so glad that we could have some time to chat about what you do and what Saddleback is doing and also what Saddleback is dreaming when it comes to this segment of this incredible church and move of God called Saddleback Church and what Rick Warren's doing. So how did you prepare for your role to be an Internet Campus pastor?
Yeah, well, I want to thank you again for letting me share a little bit what we're doing. I feel very grateful. I'm at a church that is, it's just amazing. And our pastor, our leadership allows, I mean, young leaders to do a lot of different things. And it's been really fun. I prepared for my role, you know, kind of crazy. I started doing ministry online on the Internet Campus as a volunteer. Really, I was getting paid to do something else at Saddleback, take care of some ministries on a communication team. And pretty much the Internet Campus was something that was there. But people, we didn't find or didn't see the potential yet. I mean, I would say that our church has definitely done things online pretty quickly. We Pastor Rick always talks about we were one of the first churches, 10, 15 years ago to have a website and a lot of other things that we've done online. And so we're always kind of checking out things. And we started an internet campus originally just as for members only. There was always this fear of, if you read Purpose Driven Church, where it kind of shares his thoughts about not being a televangelist and not sharing some things, that was always close. He always really wanted to draw people to a healthy environment. And so we always kind of reluctantly did things online to try to figure out what's healthy, what's not, what's orthodox, what's not orthodox, and so forth. And pretty much I got thrown into it because I saw that we were streaming things online and we had taken down a password. So it was open, there was no regulation. People can just jump on. And I started to mess around and just do different things. And eventually I started to prepare by checking out what other churches were doing online. I checked out what other popular, streaming sites did, sites like, Ustream. I spent a lot of time checking out, what ESPN did with a lot of their online streaming. I was one of the first people in the first month on Netflix and Hulu and different things like that. So what I did was meticulously look at how people provided content online. The big difference between an internet campus, online campus, virtual campus, there's a lot of names for it. But the big difference is we're not a stream. We want to be a community. And so providing content's one thing, but trying to show and provide a way for people to interact, that's a whole nother thing. And that's what makes it an actual campus. I think a lot of churches are great at the content delivery, but where churches are trying to figure out, and I'm in this boat, to be honest, is how do we allow for community to happen online and offline? And how do we picture that and allow connection to start? And how do we allow their faith to kind of bleed in and saturate into everything, their 24/7 world? And I think that's where it's difficult. And I prepare now by just every time I see anything that maybe that's on television or online and they provide some kind of content, maybe on a big platform, I'm always curious that how do they provide it on a big level? Because it's kind of easy to do something with only a couple people, but how do you do it on a bigger scale? That's a hard thing. So I'm usually spending a lot of research time, just checking out things. I spend a lot of time talking to wise people and looking what others are doing. And I don't limit that just to the church world. I also go outside and see, what is the kind of the secular world doing online? Because I think there's some really cool technology being implemented. And I'm curious of how we can leverage that to save lives and help empower people to live for Jesus. So that's kind of like how I've done it. And I would say I'm in process. And I think because of technology, I'm always going to be in process.
That's right. And that's the thing about technology. It's like once you decide to get on the treadmill, then it's a matter of keeping up because it's constantly moving. Boy,
it's some people it's nerve wracking, but to me, it's exciting to kind of see, well, that's this way. And I think a lot of the conversation that people have online with fears, is this sound or is that good? And I go, did people think even people would spend as much time online, 5 years ago? I was just looking at something a couple days ago, and they're saying in the last 10 years, internet traffic within countries is up like, almost 530%. And it's like, it's because it's easier and easier. And I believe as it becomes easier and easier to kind of do what we're doing face to face, as the barriers drop, people are going to become less fearful of the theology because it's going to become more real and authentic. And the harder it is, the more people are going to be, kind of putting up stop signs. But as this becomes more real, which I believe it will, I think technology is going that way. I think movies, how they picture things, as that becomes more authentic and real, we're going to be more okay with that. And I think it's okay to be, cautious. I think that's wise. But anyways, that's kind of some of the stuff we've gone through. Personally, I go to kind of learn and prepare even now. So,
well, that's a great setup. And you're probably one of the most visible online of the internet campus pastors that actually show your face and create videos to make yourself visible. A lot of times, and I've been tracking this whole internet campus church thing for 6 years now, just compiling a list of which churches are doing it so that we can begin to learn from each other. And then with this podcast, Social Media Church, we're actually recording those conversations so that churches that are in process and looking at taking that next step of faith to go online can learn and glean from the wisdom of conversations that happen. So, so glad you could be a part of this too, and to kind of pay it forward so others can learn. But what's been helpful to you, aside from the one-on-one conversations, what's helped you to keep up on that research part of technology in the non-church world?
Man,
which blogs do you read, or magazines or newspapers?
I would say being, I'm 25, so I'm definitely in the generation of where online is just built in.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say just being my age, and even just observing the culture within my friends and the people either I went to school with, or, that I do life with, in my small group, at Saddleback we do small group. So, with my small group, I observe what catches on. And so I do a lot of just what interests me. And I use that as a kind of one of the telltale signs of, okay, should we do something on that? If it's anything from, getting on something like Instagram or a Pinterest or YouTube, or changing over from YouTube to Vimeo, there's all these different avenues, all these great tools. And I kind of check, okay, what's my community doing? And then I kind of observe, the usage. But blogs and stuff like that, I definitely check out Mashable. Mashable is definitely one of the more premium deals. And that's probably the more regular one that I watch trends on, just because I really like the format and the layout. Outside of that, I usually keep updated with insiders within Microsoft and Apple, just to kind of see different things, at least the tone of conversation, or at least, it's kind of cool. You can see directionally where companies are going just by the way that, they file patents or different things like that, but that's a little bit more detailed and meticulous. I do a lot of stuff generally with Mashable, and then I watch when websites update, like if it's Netflix releases something just for kids, they just did that release, and I'm kind of, oh, that's kind of interesting. So it makes me start thinking about, okay, how am I providing, let's say spiritual growth or tracks for families online. And so I provide obviously our content for our main worship center, through Pastor Rick and different people, but we don't have anything online for kids or teenagers. And so that makes me think. And so generally it's kind of Mashable and a couple other side deals. I do a lot, actually, something I do is I have a couple lists on Twitter, and I follow a lot of tech writers and different people. And that's really helpful, because that's so live. It's ridiculous. I have like news outlets, and it's so funny how, websites won't update, but I can see it from the, from the actual, writer, 10 minutes before the website gets updated. And I would also say, I'm fortunate that I serve under a pastor that's pretty savvy on a lot of things. And so he sends all staff emails. I follow him on Twitter and stuff. And so he's usually pushing us as a staff so much forward. And
well, I've heard that Rick Warren does 100% of his own tweets.
I got to be honest, as I talk to people all around the country, that's the number one question people ask me is, hey, does Rick really tweet? And I'm like, yes, he does. Do you see how he tweets? He'll tweet in like 20 tweets in a row. That's how he thinks. It is all him.
Okay, so how did you transition from volunteer to, I'm guessing, full-time staff as Internet Campus pastor? And what have you learned in that process as a church?
I started on the team as a, we have a communication team. We have different ministries, a photo ministry, a video ministry, a writing ministry. One of the ministries we started was a Facebook, Twitter ministry. And over time, I started that and started to interact and do more and more things. And through that, being knee deep and on Facebook and Twitter, seeing life change happening and connections happening, I saw the potential online more and more. And again, the church just saw literally over, 2.5 years of me just helping out And I really took it as a ministry. I just said, I'm just going to do this because I like to be on Facebook. I like Twitter and I like all that stuff. And I wanted to see where God, what God was going to do. And then about, actually as recent as about 2 months ago, they finally said, hey, we're going to hire a full-time online campus pastor. And we're going to put it under our national church strategy team on our spiritual maturity kind of pillar at our church. And, you know, we want you to be it. And I was like, wow. And I wasn't going to be compartmentalized anymore. I was going to be able to fully focus on something.
Fantastic. Well, there's two things that I want to ask you about, and then I have three follow-up questions, and then I want to hear what you're dreaming of and other questions you have for our audience here at Social Media Church. So one of the biggest turning points that I noticed as an attender of Saddleback Church and keeping in touch with online churches around the country is there was a strategic or just a milestone one day when Saddleback Church decided to do an online service every 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so that's like, 80 services a week?
Yeah, it's just about 80. If you can.
Yeah. And so what is the philosophy behind doing that many services, and what kind of an experience do you try to provide at each service?
Yeah, you know, we slowly inched up. We had 5 live services, and then we did a couple, we call it sim live, short, simulated live. We will take a live service and rebroadcast it. And the idea, there's kind of 3 thoughts. You either do live, you do sim live, and then you do on demand. And those are kind of the 3 ideas that people, how they approach online campus. We actually do all 3. At a sim live and a live, you know, it's kind of funny. You kind of get lost in this language. But, you know, we call sim live and then live. But this idea of we rebroadcast things because we want community to happen at one time. So the content is always going to stay the same to us. But the idea is that if we can set a time, you know, be from here to here, and if people gather, kind of like it's kind of like that idea of like Saturday Night Live on the West Coast is rebroadcasted. But the idea is everyone gathers at one point to watch it. And we believe as people gather at one point to watch it, there's more ability for community to happen, either in chat or offline. On demand is great. And I think on demand has its place. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and different things on demand, but I believe there's some limitations with on demand because it's very individual. It's on your own schedule. It's usually when you're running, you're going to work. You know, I listen to a lot when I'm driving, but we don't want people just to listen to the message. We want people to do life with other people. And, on demand, has some limitations there, but because you can't timeline it. You're not on the same, you're kind of not experiencing everything on the same track. And simulated live and live allow that. So, you know, we went from 5 live services to about, then we added 10 simulated live services. And then we added 2 more a day. And then now we're up to this, you know, 80 plus a week. And the idea is that live has a very small reach. If you think globally, you know, live is limited by time zone. And so, you know, I've done this number where, you know, you figure out how many people are in the Pacific time zone. You know, it's like somewhere in the neighborhood of 50, you know, million plus. I did these numbers a couple months ago, but the idea was, you know, your reach is pretty big, obviously. But at the same time, when you think about the potential of, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 billion people in the world, I think in 2011, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.3 billion people used the internet in 2011, 2.3 billion. And that means when you do simulated live, when you rebroadcast every 2 hours and you hit all the time zones, you are actually hitting that number, 2.3 billion, instead of just hitting your 50 million or so that are in your time zone. And so we saw the potential of rebroadcasting our message every 2 hours. And it'll be able to have no limits. And again, the value was if we rebroadcast it and have a set time, ideally what we're praying for is that people gather at those points and watch the message together. And we're becoming better at, and I would say the experience we offer now, it's an experience that was developed about 3.5 years ago. And so
3.5 years, that's ancient.
Dude, it's ancient, and we're grateful because, you know, you know, I'm grateful that we even have it. You said it, it's ancient. And so with me being full-time now, we are right now redesigning, rethinking, redoing everything. And so we're hoping, our hope is at the beginning of 2013, we can launch with a whole new experience online. And we are redoing everything. We're rethinking, what does it look like to do this? And what do we want? And so, and Simulated Live to us is one of those deals of, we can really hit everyone. And, I'm not super proud of where we're at now. I think it's a resource thing, you know, in every church has this, it's, you know, what can we do with our budget? And, we're right now rethinking and redoing all that. And so we have some exciting things coming out here real soon. And, I could share a little bit of that, but, that's coming in the beginning of 2013 that we're planning and praying that we can launch everything. Cause we have a big campaign coming up where Rick's releasing his purpose driven life. And so we're trying to align with that. And so anyways, that's a little bit about us going every 2 hours. It's just to hit the potential. It's to have a bigger target. And, you know, there really is, you know, you think about the money that's poured in to launch a church, you know, people pour everywhere to $50,000 to $500,000 to launch a church. And, you know, we can launch a online church with little to no resources. You know, it may not be the best experience, but the potential to be able to hit that big target, it's ridiculous. We want to leverage that to, you know, win people to Christ and also help them figure out how to live for Christ, online and offline. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about why we, you know, again, we started launching more and more services. You know, I know churches do it all different ways, and I think they're all great, and it all is contextualized to your community, your message, and kind of your reach. And it just happens we're at a church that, you know, Pastor Rick has a global reach, and we can leverage him in a huge way and how God's using him. And, you know, we talk about riding waves and, you know, God's blessing, you know, him and our church, and we want to continue to ride that online and to provide more and more ways for people to be part of that, you know. And we have, you know, weekly we have anywhere from 100 to 130 countries tune in online to our message, and it's really cool.
Yeah, and in the show notes I'll link to the infographic that you put together on just some of the numbers showing how many people are being impacted and touched by your online internet campus.
Curious, and that's one of my questions. We can get to the end about numbers of how you've watched. That's a big question. Churches online report numbers so differently.
Sure. It's like
some people do it by this, and we can go into that. And I'm gonna let you. That's one of my questions, but I'll let you ask. Well,
The more you talk, the more questions I have, because there's so much going on, and I think partly because I'm a part of Saddleback myself, that I want to get under the hood and really learn more and also find a way where I could participate too. So one of the things that I have been watching eagerly is how Saddleback not only does the online services, but you're also one of the few churches that do online small groups.
Yeah.
So tell us how you are able to empower people online to participate in community life besides the worship service through these online small groups.
I mean, that's the essence of, you know, you read, you know, Acts 4 type of community when the word gathering church, you know, kind of that word kind of arises, that we want people to be able to connect with other people. That's the fear online, is that you are empowering, you know, these individualistic, you know, kind of antisocial tendencies. And I think that's a bunch of, you know what you can call it. I want to reach people where they're at, but I also want to provide them a pathway to be able to do the type of community I believe is biblical and sound and healthy that God has built us for. You know, I'm at a church that, you know, my pastor has written things like Better Together, and small groups is at the essence, at the core of our kind of ministry philosophy. We had to figure out a way to do community online. I benefit, again, from Ephraim Muhlenberg, who is over our online groups. Our leadership, Pastor Steve Gladen, and different people have done things online that, honestly, I wasn't a part of originally. When they started doing online groups, they just started experimenting. And I literally came into the room and I found out what they were doing. And I was like, what can I do to help? I was like, continue. And so the online group stuff has just blown up. And I have the benefit now to be able to work side by side with Ephraim, who's our online director. Pretty much the idea is that we want people to be able to connect in a browser. And so we actually built this whole deal, and people talk, chat in different avenues, and they watch curriculum together. And so when, you know, here at Saddleback, when you do a small group, usually you have curriculum you go through, either as a whole church we go through, or you have different stuff you can go through, or you can, you know, obviously read through a book together, and we'll give you parallel, you know, study guides to be able to help you go through that. And all we did was we provided a way for that to happen online, is that we want people to be able to connect and do life with each other. We want people to be able to the best of the ability, share their story together, interact and care for each other and challenge each other, have accountability. And online groups is kind of our way to do that, our big way to do that, at least right now. And so it's pretty much a browser that they connect and talk to each other, and they watch curriculum together, and then they interact with it. And, you know, content, again, is, you know, there's so much great content out there. You can do it in so many great ways, but it's really the connections that make a difference. And again, I believe that's what makes it a campus and not a stream. You know, again, anyone can do a stream. Anybody can throw up a webcam and throw it somewhere. But what makes online campuses different is that community, is that gathering, that, you know, heaven-focused kind of people that are doing life together and intentionally growing and confessing and working through just what does it look like to be a believer. And online groups is how at this moment we are allowed to, we're able to interact with people all around the world and empower people to do community online. But I believe online groups is one option. I want people to be able to interact, because I believe online groups are I believe online groups are going to be a way for just a percentage of people to be able to do community, because not everyone's tech savvy like us and gets it. Some people don't interact that way. Not everyone does. And so we're also trying to figure out, hey, how do we empower people to start community in their homes? And maybe they watch the service together and they invite people over. And it's almost like it becomes almost somewhat of a house church, that you're living out the vision of Saddleback, and you're figuring out what does that look like practically to you in your community, wherever you're at geographically. And so online groups is one way, but also offline groups is another way. And we're actually experimenting and walking through a lot of cool things to do that right now.
Okay, well, let me try to summarize it for the listeners who are trying to figure out how to do online small groups. That, from what I can tell, Saddleback provides a library of curriculum. Yes. And then people who are group leaders or group hosts can sign up for a time slot, commit to going through a curriculum together, and then you provide the web-based platform for people to have a chat room and discussion thread. Is that how it actually works?
And so we're actually redoing that right now. We're trying to think through, you know, I think video and audio is so important. Right now, it's only chat-based because of some of those syncing issues. And so, again, that's some of the stuff we're dreaming and planning and trying to figure out, okay, what are some resources? You know, obviously Google Hangouts and different things are some great models. We're definitely looking into all sorts of things. We're very open. But yeah, that's the idea. They watch, you know, we provide the online platform and they interact with each other and they set times like any normal, you know, it's like hanging out with friends. Hey, we're all going to hang out at this time. And the only difference is they watch something and it's focused on what, it's focused on, you know, living for God, figuring out, you know, what does that look like? And we really challenge, again, don't limit your faith to the 1 hour that you watch the message or the 1 or 2 hours that you interact in a chat room. It's, hey, how does this bleed out into your offline world? And that's what we're really gearing for, is, you know, a 24/7 lifestyle that's geared towards Jesus. And these are only touch points. It's the same issues that local churches have. You know, it's like you only have them 1 hour, and how do you encourage them, inspire them? And that's where social media and different things become great resources, because you get to invade their work life. You get to invade all those different areas.
Fantastic. Well, since you are Saddleback, you have the iconic presence of having developed a baseball diamond to capture the purpose-drivenness of how to develop a disciple of Christ. And so when it comes to online campus, how much of that gets to be done through an online campus? I mean, what does membership look like? What does baptism look like? What does communion look like? Or do you use an asterisk on your online campus to say, we're not there yet, maybe we'll get there, or we use it as a funnel to feed into a physical campus? Where are you at in that conversation currently?
That's the question. You know, a lot of my friends that I talk to in online campus, they're all different areas. Some people have fully bought in. Some people are in between. Some people have actually closed down their online campuses because of this very issue of membership. Things like baptism. There's a lot of liability issues. There's a lot of things that come up. Definitely, I mean, I'm a guy that, you know, I grew, before I came to Saddleback, you know, we did a purpose-driven style. So that whole idea of the diamond, the funnel, different things like that, that's embedded into the core of who I am. And so I definitely think through things through community to commission kind of breakdown. And so our diamond right now, I definitely would say it's for sure a work in progress, because three big things that we're figuring out right now is membership online is a huge thing, because our membership team here at Saddleback is walking through, what does it look like? I don't believe it's ever going to be a full-fledged membership that's similar to our local campuses. I believe it will be a hybrid for good reasons. I think for the main reason is because you're not going to be committed to a the Lake Forest or the Orange County community. You're going to be committed to needs that are in your community. So if you're in North Dakota or in Florida or in Manila or wherever that's at, it's going to look different, and your action steps and the accountability is going to look different. So I believe we're going to have some kind of hybrid of membership, depending if that happens, or, you know, to be honest, we might just call it something else for various reasons. And the other thing is baptism. What does it look like to get baptized through the internet campus? Oh man, I have friends that have done, you know, the water, you know, through Skype. You know, I have friends that, you know, like, no, that is just, you know, you're crazy. That's not what you need to do. I believe we're going to use a lot. We're going to think through that in big time here very soon. I have some opinions on it. I don't want to get into that. But we definitely need to provide a way for people to get baptized. If it's through empowering a local believer, or through correlation, or through, partnerships with local churches, we're going to help get people baptized. I believe as community happens more and more organically, locally, I call them like near relationships. That's going to become easier. You know, we have no problem with believers baptizing other believers, but how does an online group that maybe one believer is in California, but the other is in, you know, somewhere in Germany, how does someone baptize? And so I believe we can help, we can provide a pathway of, hey, you're in Germany. Hey, we have a church down the street that, you know, we trust. Go there, we'll baptize you. Or do you have another believer with you? Here's, we'll train you. And so there's some things we're figuring out. And then the third thing is just providing an easy way for people to do fellowship offline. And so how does that look like? You know, and you know, we learn from things like Meetup and different things like that of how do we get people to gather. And so right now, membership, baptism, and people doing local community outside of our Orange County reach, those are things we're figuring out. And so we have a diamond. But it's broken right now. It's like, we have it, like we're figuring that out right now.
And you're at a point as a church about to launch global locations in 12 gateway cities. And so I'm sure that's also another conversation parallel to the development of your internet campus and how that can integrate into your on the ground campuses that are all over the world.
Really, I mean, we will always funnel people to local churches. I mean, we will always, if that's what you want, what you need, what you're used to, and where God has you, we're going to plug them into a local Saddleback church. We're going to have a funnel for that, or international. And as we launch these 12 cities, we're definitely, you know, I was just talking to someone online who's a moderator for me, who moderates one of our services. And I found out she's in, Manila, where we're launching one of our campuses, and we were talking over Skype, and I was like, hey, when that happens, I want you to be engaged with that. that is, you know, be engaged with that as much as you want, be engaged online. But as we launch things, my goal is to plant more and more of those. And so we want to empower that. And so we're always going to have a, we're always going to have a place for the local kind of traditional way to do church. I mean, that's where my wife and I go, you know, we go to the Lake Forest campus. I see a value in that, but I also see the potential where people don't have healthy local churches. And the idea that we can bring something to the table to help encourage their faith. And I don't want to stop that just because, you know, for various reasons. And so definitely the international, we, you know, we get to funnel people to churches, you know, that are outside of our reach and that are a part of our network, which is awesome.
Okay. Well, and I know you've got a list of questions for our listeners and a few for me. So shoot them out.
First off, I was curious, where do you go? First off, right off the bat, where do you go to keep up to date on different trends, you know, your resources or different websites that you follow?
Yeah, well, I have a Twitter list. Also, Mashable, TechCrunch, Engadget. Those are kind of the hot pulse points for technology. The Next Web I like a lot because they synthesize the trends. And then when I want to go really techie, then I go to Twit TV and GigaOM for more industry insiders. Then you can kind of get a sense of where things are headed. And I like to stay on the front edge of the curve because I'm a, more of an ideas guy. And I've been spending time trying to figure out Google Plus Hangout and Google Plus Hangout on Air. And so I love experimenting with new technologies and finding ways for how that can work in the church. And so I'm constantly exploring on the frontiers of internet technologies. It's becoming more fluid. So it's a mix of Twitter, blogs, and podcasts. I've been getting back into podcasts, not just because I'm podcasting, but podcasting, particularly audio podcasting, allows you to consume content without opening your eyes. Mm. And my eyes are tired from reading and watching videos and, you know, everything else requires the eyes. And there's something nice to just be able to osmosis and take in content through the ears as well.
That's well said. I was curious, are you scared any about anything online theologically?
Am I scared about the theological ramifications of online church? Not so much. I think most of the other church leaders have taken that posture already. And so when you look at what's in print and what the pundits and theologians are talking about with online church, the majority of what's in print already has that defensive posture. And so I don't think they need another defensive posture. So there's too much caution and not enough R&D in experimenting and stepping into faith. Stepping out in faith into what God has allowed to happen. And I think one of the best churches that's helped me to see that is a book by Doug Estes titled Sim Church. And so I think what the online world opens up to us is getting more in touch with what's going on in the soul, which we all have as spiritual beings, and that is not so constrained by the physical. Yeah, I think it opens up a whole new paradigm of who we are in Christ and how we connect through the Spirit with the body of Christ that is global. Yeah. And so I see it as a huge opportunity rather than one of fear. I know there's a value for incarnation in the physical, and I value that too. So when I'm in physical proximity at a conference with people, I actually unplug and go offline. But I mean, you're 25, I'm 46, and so I'm realizing I have a 15-year-old son, so I really watch him closely at how technology is being more and more integrated, that people relate seamlessly online and offline, how technology is being integrated into our incarnational being. And I think it's new territory, and we need to step into it by faith rather than by fear.
What's going to make a difference in a lot of stuff I'm studying and researching is a lot of the house church movement stuff, because I think that's where, if you have a value, and I do, for, you know, near relationships, you know, in-person community, you know, but I also, you know, you see that model even, you know, in the New Testament, you see, you know, local gatherings, but somehow Paul is still connected from a distance. And I go, man, I go, I see the ability for connection, and I see both. And I, like you said, how your son is 15, how it's integrated. I think that's where we got to watch that. It's just, it's going to become more and more as it becomes easier and easier. I mean, that's that idea of Web 2.0. I believe 3.0 is going to, whatever that is. And you probably know about this more than me because I don't follow this stuff, but I think 3.0 and on all that stuff, all it's going to mean is it's not going to become forced. It's just going to become natural. It's just going to be one. Online and off, it's just going to become an extension as it is now. And it's going to become, as that becomes easier and easier, online church, whatever that looks like, as we move forward, it's going to become more healthy because it's going to be the more ability we're going to be able to connect on. It's going to seem more real and it's going to be more real in various reasons, but I don't know where that's going. I mean, that's technology. It just evolves every, you know, it literally evolves every day. It seems like there's something new coming out.
Yeah, so I have to use the Bible as my proof text. That's a virtual item from thousands of years back. And yet that's very much a part of our spiritual community and anchor. And that gives us the fellowship of the saints. And the just shall live by faith. And I think that has the most application into how we step into the 21st century in a digital world where we are interconnected physically as well as online.
Hope that.
And that was my conversation with Jay Cranda, the Internet Campus Pastor at Saddleback Church. Check the show notes for links of things that I've mentioned, including the infographic of the impact that Saddleback Church's Internet Campus has been having around the globe as they are making it a global strategy to reach people for Christ through their Internet Campus. And it's a work in progress. And I'm so glad that Jay could share a little bit of that with us here at Social Media Church. Again, stay connected with us at socialmediachurch.net. We'd love to hear from you. Call in on the caller hotline. I don't have a great name for it, and maybe you can call in with a great name for our Google Voice inbox where you can leave a voicemail. I'd be happy to incorporate your comments and feedback on a future episode. The number, for those of you who are just listening but have a smartphone ready to dial, the number is 94935432 16. And you can leave a message, and I can listen to it, and I can add it to a future episode. We'd love to hear from you online and anywhere, so drop me a line. This is DJ Chuang for Social Media Church, and until next time, we'll stay connected with you online.